This week I had originally planned to preach on something, a different topic, a different scripture this week. But Friday, as I was reading over, starting to look at the passage for that we'll be talking about tomorrow night in the Bible study, or tonight in the Bible study, this verse just jumped out at me, these three verses, in particular verse 3 of John chapter 3, verse 3, 4, and 5. It deals with a question that was posed to Jesus by Nicodemus, a ruler among the Jews, probably a Pharisee, probably a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the Supreme Court, the highest legislating body, the body of people, men that had the say-so on what would be done amongst the Jews in their faith, and what was a law and what wasn't, and who broke it, and all of those sorts of things. So it fits real well with our idea of baptism and coming to membership into the church. And Jesus asks some questions and gives some answers here that are just real important, I think. And I would dare say that there is no single verse more important than verse 3 of chapter 3 of John. Let me read you this passage, and read along with me if you'd like. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for the message that it brings us, for the instruction that it provides. May you speak now to our hearts and to our minds through your Spirit. Lord, bring us where we need to be. Lord, not where we want to be, not where the world would like us to be, but where you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when we look at this passage here, I want to kind of look at it in reverse, starting at that verse 5 there, where it talks, where Jesus gives his answer, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, it's talking about two types of baptism there, water baptism and spirit baptism. Now, when we look at this idea of water baptism, scholars and commentators over the centuries have come up with many different possibilities of what this may be talking about, but they basically boil down to two, and I think it's important to look at those, and I don't necessarily know that it's essential that we believe one way or the other, because certainly Jesus could have been referring in a dual sense to either one of those. But when we look at the water baptism, primarily we first think about the baptism of John. You know, this is just shortly after Jesus was baptized. And, you know, John had been baptizing all these people for months out there in the wilderness, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and baptizing. Water baptism, immersion, you know, baptism. We think about that. So many times when we see this passage and Jesus talks about two types of baptism, a water baptism, we think about that, first of all, we must be immersed or sprinkled or poured upon, whichever our tradition holds us to. That baptism, that this water baptism that Jesus is talking about is the baptism of John. The baptism that John preached about and practiced for remission of sins. But there's also another possibility there that I really think is important here, and in this particular situation, that Jesus is probably most likely talking about not water baptism here as John baptized, but he's talking about birth itself, an actual life. Because it was a common practice to be talked about that a person born was born of water because of the womb and the nature of the human body, the female body, and how the embryo is inside the womb, encased in water. That when the child was born, it was born through water. We hear that many times and see that referred to often. So I think that in this particular situation that Jesus was telling Nicodemus that, you know, in answer to his question, first of all, that yes, there are two baptisms. And that the first baptism that he's referring to, because Nicodemus asked that question in verse 4, he said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb for a second time and be born? So Nicodemus is understanding that he's talking about being born again, physically, actually being birthed again. So the two baptisms, I think, that are being talked about here on this water baptism is actual birth. Jesus is saying to him that there are two baptisms. You are born of water. You are born into this world as an infant, as a child. And then second, that you are born of the Spirit. Now, just to go back to this, just kind of give you my rationale and my thinking on this, that Jesus is talking about this birth here. He's talking about this birth here and not water baptism as John was baptizing, because I believe fully that there are no two, you know, many denominations, many facets of religion will say that there are two baptisms, that there is the baptism where you are immersed, dunked, sprinkled, or where you give your heart to Jesus, and then at some point in time later there's a second baptism, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, where it comes upon you at a second time, a second baptism. Now, I don't believe that, me personally. I could be wrong, but my belief is that when you are saved and you give your heart to Jesus and He enters into your life, that you are no more saved and you'll never be no more baptized than you are at that point in time. Now, I know the Pentecostals believe very much different, and I respect their beliefs, but I disagree with them. So I believe Jesus is saying here that there is only one baptism of the Spirit, and that comes upon the moment that you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life as Lord and Savior. Amen. That's just the way I believe. Could be wrong. Lord, forgive me if I am. Teach me the right way. But I'm just going to tell you how I believe and what I think. Now, this is that is according to what I believe and not what Jesus said to me or anything. Now, when we look at this, it talks about the Spirit. Okay, get to the Spirit now. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 gives us a very concise and brief explanation of what this born of the Spirit means. He says, according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. According to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit baptism is, and in all essence, the moment in which we say to Jesus Christ, yes, when we yield ourselves to Him, the washing and regeneration. We are continually in the presence of the Spirit as we are renewed and washed daily by the grace of God, I think. It's not a one-time thing, but it's a continual process. There's a story that I read some time back about the 1933 World's Fair that was held in Chicago, I believe. At that World's Fair, or in association with that World's Fair, there was what was called a Parliament of Religions, I believe it was. In this Parliament of Religion, every religion or major religion on the face of the earth was invited to send a representative to a round table type event, and each of the proponents of their particular faith would have the opportunity, there was a time limit, a few minutes, that each one of them could share how they felt, what was most important about their faith and how their faith was crucial and vital and the most important or whatever. All the various religions took their turn. Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Islam, you just imagine all the religions that would have been present. Well, finally it came time for the man that was the representative of the Christian faith. His name was John Cook, or Joseph Cook. Joseph Cook stood up, and in the midst of all those people, he said, "Here is Lady Macbeth's hand," held out his hand. He said, "stained with the foul murder of King Duncan." Now, those of you who know Shakespeare know what I'm talking about. It's kind of a long time for me, but I do know that Lady Macbeth did kill King Duncan. She murdered him. He said, "See her as she walks through the hallways and corridors of her palatial home, stopping to cry out." And now this is Shakespeare and not me. Stopping to cry out, "Out, damn spot, out, I say. Will these hands ever be clean?" Dr. Cook then turned and asked those in attendance there, he said, "Do any one of your religions, your beliefs, your systems of belief afford a means of cleansing the sin and guilt of Lady Macbeth of her crime?" Of course, all were silent because there were none. No other religion in the world offers a means by which a person can be atoned, a person's sins, guilts, crimes can be atoned for. You see, it took the shedding of Christ's blood to atone and cleanse for your and my guilt. And that's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus in this third chapter, in this third verse. The most important verse in the Bible. For Nicodemus, Jesus didn't say to him, "Now Nicodemus, unless you are a prominent ruler among your people, you can see the kingdom of heaven." He didn't say to him, "Nicodemus, unless you are well thought of by your peers, you can enter the kingdom of heaven or see the kingdom of heaven." He didn't say to him, "Unless you're faultless, you can see the kingdom of heaven." He didn't say to him, "Unless you let John baptize you out in the wilderness, you can enter or see the kingdom of heaven." He said to him, "Unless you can be born again." Not unless you can be born again, can you see the kingdom of heaven. And for us today, folks, right here, right now, 2,000 years later, Jesus is saying to us that not unless you can become a preacher will you see the kingdom of heaven. He's not saying to you and I, "Unless I teach a Sunday school class, I will see the kingdom of heaven." He's not saying, "Unless I pray a certain number of minutes every day, I will enter the kingdom of heaven." He's not saying even that if I go to church every time the doors are open, that you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. He says to Nicodemus, and he says to us today, unless we are born again, he didn't say, and notice what he says, how he qualifies. He says, "You will not even see the kingdom of heaven, much less get to it. You won't even get a glimpse of it." We can't come close to the kingdom of heaven, folks, without being born again. Amen. We can't come close to it. In other words, our good deeds, our good works, our good name, our good looks, our nice clothes, our cars, our homes, none of those things is going to get us with even sight of God's kingdom. It's going to all rest on one thing. One thing, being born again. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad of that, because there ain't nothing I got could get me close to heaven unless it's the wife I chose. And that's true. Amen, somebody got that. Folks, it's not what we do. And today, Jamie, it's not about you being baptized that's going to get you to the kingdom of heaven. It's about your new birth in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amy, it's not about you being baptized before and coming and joining this church right here. But what's going to get you inside of the kingdom and into the kingdom is the new birth that has happened in you. For each one of you, there's nothing that you can do. It's all about what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. It's about the blood of Jesus. It's about being born again. And folks, when this is over with today, when we're through, after I baptize them, if you have not been born again, if you have not given your heart to Jesus Christ, I want you to take that opportunity to think about that, to get wholeheartedly, knowing that there's nothing that you can do to earn it, but it's only about what He has done. All about Jesus, nothing about me, nothing about you, but about what God has done in Jesus Christ for us. I am so grateful for that this morning, because I am so far from being able to stand in that place I need to be. Only because of His blood can I. And only because of His blood can you. this morning, we're going to celebrate with baptism, and we're going to celebrate with receiving new members. It's a joyous occasion. Don't look glum. Be happy. Amen. Don't worry. Be happy. This is good. John, if you want to put that up for me. If you'd like to follow along, there will be some congregational response. Jamie, I would like for you to come up if you would. In your hymn book, if you want to follow along there, it's on page 45. Jamie, if there's somebody that would like to come up and stand as a sponsor and support for Jamie, I ask you to stand over here, and this way you can see the responses as they come up. Okay? Yeah. The churches of God and will be preserved to the end of time for the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word and sacraments, the maintenance of Christian fellowship and discipline, the edification of believers, and the conversion of the world. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace which it alone applies. For as much as all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, our Savior Christ said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we call upon Thee for these Thy servants, that they, coming to Thy holy baptism, may receive remission of sins and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive, O Lord, as Thou hast promised by Thy well-beloved Son, and grant that they may be faithful to Thee all the days of their lives, and finally come to the eternal kingdom which You have promised through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Jamie, I ask you, do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments?
I do.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and to walk in the same all the days of your life as a faithful member of Christ's holy church? Jamie, do you desire to be baptized in this faith? Okay. Jamie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jamie, the Lord defend you with His heavenly grace, and by His Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amy, you're already up here. If you come up and stand beside Jamie, if both of y'all can come out. If you will. Okay. Yeah. Amy, you've been baptized. You've made your vows and profession of faith. Would you like to reaffirm that affirmation now in those vows that Jamie has just taken? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God as the Lord and Father of all creation? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you affirm that you desire to live in accordance with the laws and the precepts that we find in the Old and the New Testaments? I ask you both now. Will you be loyal now to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, presence, your gifts, and your service? Now, to the congregation, I say to you, brothers and sisters, I commend to you your love and care, these two persons here today whom we receive into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Will you respond? We rejoice to recognize you as the members of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ, that surrounded by steadfast love, that you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Jack, God bless you. Thank you.